It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Experience an indescribable encounter with God through the word preached by Reverend Dr. Peter Saki, a medical doctor by profession, called by God as an end-time apostle and prophet. He has been given the mandate to set captives free and deliver the oppressed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, God's Word by Reverend Dr. Saki.
beloved, one more time, I'm coming your way with God's powerful word. And I want you to understand that in the things of God, the best are always reserved for the last. When they went for a wedding in Cana at Galilee, and they thought they had had the best wine, and they ran out of wine, Jesus worked a miracle, and they got another wine. And they realized that the wine Jesus produced was sweeter and finer than the wine they had tasted previously. The path of the just is like a shining light, which shineth more and more unto a perfect day. In other words, in the things of God, it gets sweeter, it gets stronger, it gets more glorious, and it gets better. Therefore, I know that God has something greater for you and sweeter for you this day. If you are ready, dearly wonderful viewer, wherever you are watching on the internet, you are watching on the television, wherever you are, I believe God has a word for you, and the hand of God is going to be extended to you and to your family. The mighty working power of God through his word is not limited, is not chained, and cannot be restricted from coming to you. If you are ready for God's word, wherever you are, I want us to pray. Lift up your right hand wherever you are and let us pray. Holy Father, we are ready for your word. We ask that you open our hearts. Grant us understanding. We receive grace to be doers of your word, that we shall be fruitful in every good work. And we will give you glory now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. The word of God says, having done all, we should be able to stand. In other words, it's not how you start, it's not how you began, but most importantly, it is how you continue till the end. And so God wants us to stand and stand till the end. We've been talking about characteristic features of humility. We said we can never stand without humility. We said that promotion comes to those who are humble. God promotes the humble and he brings the proud man down. He resists the proud. The Bible says in James chapter 4 verse 6, but he gives more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. And he said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he would exalt you in due season. We saw the characteristic features of humble people. We said if we are not able to humble ourselves consciously and intentionally, God would use circumstances and situation and experiences, bad experiences, to humble us. Praise God. We saw the characteristic feature of humble people. We saw last week that humble people, they don't think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, and they don't exercise themselves in matters too high for them. Today, we want to continue from where we ended last week. Number 14, humble people are very malleable. Malleable, they are malleable. Humble people are malleable. In other words, they are bendable. In other words, they can easily be led. In other words, they can easily adjust to situation. They can adjust to people. They can adjust to circumstances. Praise God. I want you to come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We read from verse 19 to 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 19 to 23. Praise God. It said, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain them all. He said, though I might be free from all men, I have decided to make myself servant of all. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that were under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, be not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. The apostle Paul said, though I am free, I have decided to be a servant to all men. And then he said, I made myself malleable. I adjusted to all people so that at least I can win some. Praise God. Philippians chapter 4 verse 11 to 13. Glory to God. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, wherewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. And I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says, I know how to abase myself and I know how to abound myself. In every state, I know how to be content and how to comport myself. Acts chapter 20 and verse 34. Praise God. Yea, ye yourself know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to those that were with me. Now, this was the Apostle Paul talking. The Apostle Paul said, though I have been servant, I'm free of all men, I have learned to make myself a servant to all, so that by all means I can win some. Now in Philippians, he says, I know how to abase and I know how to abound. I'm instructed when I'm full and I know how to comport myself when I am hungry. Now the Apostle Paul said, my own hands ministered to me and that of to those who were with me. In other words, he worked with his own hands. Now the Apostle Paul was a man who did great things. He did a lot of powerful, mighty things. 13 of the epistles of the New Testament epistles were written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, though he was not with Jesus in the physical when Jesus was on this earth, God and he encountered Jesus, and through the encounter he had with Jesus, he was not behind any of the chiefest apostles. God used him tremendously. God used him so powerfully. When it comes to the things of knowledge, when it comes to the things of the supernatural, when it comes to the power gifts, when it comes to the revelational gifts, God gave him so much power. God gave him so much revelation into his word. He was mightily used. The Apostle Paul planted so many churches. Now, this was a man who said that he has been able to learn how to abase himself and how to abound. He has been able to comport himself in every situation. He has learned to be content. He said he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him. Now, the Apostle Paul, when we look at his natural pedigree, if we are talking about people who had something or were something in their natural pedigree, the Apostle Paul was a great man. He was trained under Gamaliel. He was trained in as a Pharisee. He was trained in the law of the Jews. He knew the law. He was trained. He was zealous. He was a persecutor of the church. He was very learned. Near the Apostle Paul, in the natural, he was very learned. You remember in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 16, when he was about to be imprisoned, at a point he said he was also a Roman citizen. Now the Apostle Paul, he knew the law. He knew when to use the law to suit him. He knew when to take advantage of the law. He was very good. He was skillful. He was talented. He was gifted. He was learned. He had a lot of revelational knowledge, and he also experienced the power of God during his time and during his ministry. Philippians chapter 3 verse 4 to 6, we see the pedigree of the Apostle Paul on when he was not a believer. He said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he had whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more. Then he started listing his pedigree. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, he was blameless. Now, he was stating his earthly pedigree before he became born again, before he had an encounter with the Lord. He said, come on, I am very much learned. I have gone through things. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He said, I count all things as dung, that I may win Christ, that I may attain Christ, for the excellency which is in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul, in the natural, he had great accomplishment. In the natural, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. In the natural, he was a Pharisee. According to the law, righteousness by the law, he was blameless. The Apostle Paul, in his time, he was a reputable person. In his time, he was an accomplished person. In his time, he was somebody who was regarded so high in the society. He was zealously persecuting the church until he came into contact with Christ Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul, looking at his earthly pedigree, now, when he became a Christian, when he became a child of God, the Apostle Paul had an encounter with God on the road to Damascus. Apostle Paul said nobody preached the word to him. They've been preaching the word. He didn't respond. But on the road to Damascus, he had an encounter with God. His born-again experience was spectacular. His born-again experience was not a simple one. His born-again experience was spectacular. God, Christ himself, manifested himself to him. The man in the earthly realm was a reputable man. The man in the earthly realm was a man who was accorded great respect. Now, when he was coming to encounter Christ, it was not by the mere preaching of somebody for him to accept. Even though he had accepted the word for some time, because the Bible says Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He must have heard the word. But now he had an encounter with the Son of God himself. He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You cannot kick against the prick. Then Paul said, Saul, then he was Saul. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? His born again was supernatural. His born again encounter was spectacular. It was amazing. Now, Paul, then he was Saul, he was led to go to one brother called Ananias to pray for him so that he would receive his sight. Because at the time, he saw a light which was shining more than the sun. So the apostle Paul had supernatural encounter from the very beginning. The Bible says he said he went to Arabia. And when he went to Arabia, he went to wait upon God. And he was given keys into revelation. He was given keys into the word of God. The apostle Paul can recount great accomplishments even before he became born again. And his born again experience was supernatural. And shortly after he became born again, in Acts chapter 9 verse 18, the Bible says apostle Paul began preaching. He didn't have to wait. He preached immediately. When he became born again, immediately he began preaching. He preached the word of God. Immediately he preached the word. So the apostle Paul, when he became a Christian, and then he started moving with the apostles, he started moving with Barnabas, and then the apostle Paul went on missions. This was a man who encountered Christ Jesus, and his ministry was heavily characterized by supernatural manifestation of signs, miracles, and wonders. When we read Acts chapter 13, the Bible says, as the apostle Paul went and they were going on a mission, after they were going on a mission, someone tried to oppose the word. The apostle Paul rebuked that man, and the man was blind for a season. Apostle Paul and Barnabas went to a certain town, and when they preached the gospel, the people said, the gods have descended here on earth. In Acts chapter 19, the Bible says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, that even handkerchiefs and aprons now were brought to his body, could heal the sick, could set the demonized free. Paul's ministry was characterized by miracles, signs, and wonders. Paul's ministry had a ministry of mantle, handkerchiefs. He brought to his body, it was healing the sick. Miracles were happening. When they went to the city of Lystra, the Bible says Paul was preaching. In Acts chapter 14, he saw a man who was impotent in his feet. He perceived that the man had faith to be healed. And Paul went to the man and he said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Paul had miracles following his ministry. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we read about the exploits of Paul. Paul was talking about his accomplishment. He was talking about his suffering. From verse 18, he was talking about his suffering for the gospel. He was talking about the things he had gone through for the gospel. He was talking about the revelation which God had exposed him to. Paul had revelations revealed to him by God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. In spite of his pedigree before he became born again, his pedigree through supernatural encounter, his pedigree when he became an apostle in the ministry, in spite of all these things, look at what Paul said, I have learned to be a servant to all, though I am free. Of all his pedigree, the supernatural manifestations, the revelations, his sufferings, his accomplishments, put before he became born again, through his born again experience, and after his born again experience, Paul said, though I be free from all men, I have learned to be a servant to all. That to the weak, I became weak. To the Jew, I became a Jew. He said that I may win some by all means. In other words, what Paul was saying, he was not saying I am compromising, but he said, I know how to adjust. I know how to bend. I am malleable. When I go to a place, I'm able to behave myself to fit into the place. I'm able to accommodate people. I'm able to adjust to fit into the situation. I'm able to adjust when there is plenty. I'm able to adjust when there is nothing. He said, I have learned to abase and I have learned to abound. In all things, I've learned to be content. Even when I'm hungry, I've learned to be content. I don't try to do what I'm not supposed to do. A humble person is a person who is malleable. A humble person is a person who can adjust to the situation. He's a person who can adjust to the circumstance. He's a person who can be malleable. He's malleable. He's able to adjust to fit into a situation when it is necessary. Apostle Paul was a humble person. He said, I know how to abase and I know how to abound. He was malleable. He was bendable. He could conform to the situation. He was not compromising. Compromising is different from being malleable. Compromising is trying to lower the standards and lower the values you have. But to be malleable means when you go to a place and you don't find the ideal situation, you don't say, this is not my class. You don't say, this is not my level. You don't say, this is not my people. You are able to accommodate. You are able to adjust. If you go to a place where there is no electricity and that is where God is sending you, you are able to go there and you can preach the word. When you meet people who you've never known before, you are malleable. You can relate to the low. You can relate to the middle class and you can relate to the upper class. You are malleable. Come on, a humble person is malleable. You adjust to situations and circumstances when necessary. A humble person is malleable. Apostle Paul, upon all his handkerchief ministry, upon the sick being healed, upon the deliverance taking place, upon all the supernatural things Apostle Paul said, Apostle Paul, when he got to the point where he had to work with his own hands, to make money with his own hands, he had a career, he had a profession, he was a tent maker. When he got to the place where he had to work as a tent maker, he did not say, well, handkerchiefs brought into my body could heal the sick. Who am I? I'm too big to work. I'm too big to work with my hands. I'm too big to do these things. He could have said he would rather pray over handkerchiefs and sell it out to people. But he knew the word of the Lord Jesus. Freely have you received and freely must you give it out. So the Apostle Paul said, when it became necessary, my own hands worked and my own hands met my needs and met the needs of my workers with me. He didn't feel too big. He didn't feel too much of an apostle. When it mattered most, he used his own hands to work. Upon his earthly pedigree, upon his pedigree when he became born again, the means by which he became born again, and also after he became an apostle, God confirmed great supernatural manifestations through his hands. When he was preaching, they said, the gods have come on this earth to be with us. On the island of Melita, he just had to rub off the snake over his hand. The Apostle Paul did great things. He wrote 13 of the epistles. If a man of such a pedigree in the physical and also in the kingdom of God could say, I became all things to everyone so that I could win some. That is a lesson for us. He was malleable. He could accommodate. He could adjust. He said, I've learned in all things to be content. He said, I've learned to abase and I've learned to abound. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, we can also do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can humble ourselves. We can be malleable. We can adjust to the situation. Beloved, joy comes in the morning. Weeping may tarry with the night. What you are going through is not your end. This is not your destination. This is just part of the journey. The things you are going through, the situation you are encountering. If you are not humble, God cannot help you. You must be malleable. How can a prophet of God be fed by ravens? When God told him, go to stay by the Kidron, the brook Kidron, he said, stay there. Elijah stayed there. And the Bible says, at night, ravens brought him meat. And by day, they brought him meat. He was malleable. Elijah, the prophet, was malleable. When he got to the point where God said, go to Zarephath. There I have commanded a widow to take care of you. He took his things and went to Zarephath. He could have said, Lord God, I thought I should be independent by now. I thought I should have some rich people ministering to me. But Apostle Paul, Elijah was able to bring himself under and he went to Zarephath. When the time changed for God to send him to Zarephath, he went to Zarephath. He knew that God had a system. God had a schedule to meet his need. And he knew that God was his provider. And God was going to supply all his needs. And so if God decided to use a raven, he was accommodated. He was malleable to it. When God decided to use a widow, he was malleable to it. He was adjusting to the situation. Apostle Paul said, I have learned to abase and have learned to abound. When the season changes, when the time changes, and God is leading you somewhere, when the time changes, and God wants you to be surrounded by young men and young women, children, maybe you've been in the ministry for long. Maybe you're saying, me, I can't preach to children. You think maybe you should be surrounded by people of your same age with, but God in his own way has brought young men and women around you. A humble person can fit into it, can relate with them, can relate with people who are uneducated, can relate with people of all class. A humble person is malleable. In a ministry, we are required to be humble. In a ministry, if you lack humility, you can't do the ministry. You can't do the work of God. Some people are so proud that they can't see themselves doing the work of ministry. They can't see themselves living on tithes and offerings. They feel they are too big. They can't understand. They think they have a profession. They think they have a career. They wonder, how can I live my life on tithes and offerings? How can I live my life on people supporting me? How can I live my life on people giving to me? I want to be in control. I want to be in charge of affairs. Listen carefully. You can never do well in the ministry if you are not humble. Elijah the prophet called down fire. Elijah the prophet shut the heavens, opened the heavens. Elijah the prophet, God had to feed him through a ravine and by the riverside. And when the time changed, God said, go to Zarephath to command who? A widow. Not just a widow, a poor widow. A widow with her last meal. Say, go. That's the widow that will take care of you. Some people cannot be used by God because they cannot go to some places to do the work of God. They cannot read to some people to do the work of God. They cannot live a certain life to do the work of God. You may have a career. Bless God, some of us, I was trained as a medical doctor. I was trained. I went to school for 7 years. I was trained. But when the time came and God said I should go all out, I decided to obey God and go all out to do his work, to do his ministry. I decided to step out and go and do his work. Beloved, as I stepped out to go and do his work, I now have to depend on God through the givings of people, through the tithes and the offerings. Proud people cannot receive gifts. When people are too proud, they cannot receive gifts. They feel that they should always be giving to others. But humble people, when you give them gifts, no matter the amount, when you give it to them, they are content and they are grateful. When you give them small money, they are grateful. When you give them big money, they are grateful. They are willing to accept gifts. They are willing to accept help. They are willing to accept tithes and offerings. Some people are too big. They feel they have a noble profession, so they cannot take tithes and offerings. Some people even start churches. And God has instructed them to start churches. And they are so big and proud. And they start and say, in our church, we don't collect offering. In our church, we don't collect tithe. And they think that is holiness. Now, let me tell you, that is pride in disguise. Anybody who is called by God, who knows the word of God, listen carefully. Even if the people are poor, let them give offering. Even if the people are poor, let them give tithe. I would rather take an offering and tithe of 5 Ghana cedis and take 500 Ghana cedis from my pocket and help the poor within the congregation than say, because you are poor, don't give. How can they be blessed? How can they multiply? How can they increase? How can they be part of what God is doing? Proud people, they are the kind of people, and we don't take offering. You are too proud to take offering. Some proud people, when you give them gift, when it's small, they feel it's below them. Humble people, whatever you give them, they know that is what you can bring. They receive it, pray for you, bless you, and believe that the next time you will bring a bigger one. Proud people cannot take gifts. They cannot take it. They don't know how to say thank you. They don't know how to take gifts. They don't know how to live on tithes and offerings. They believe in themselves. They believe in their strength. They don't want to play. But listen carefully. Elijah had to change according to the times and the seasons. When God told him, leave the place and go to Zarephath. From raven to widow. He had to conform. He had to be malleable. Apostle Paul, he was learned in the earthly realm. He had a pedigree. But when he became a minister, he said, I robbed other churches to take care of you. He was taking offerings from all the churches. People were ministering to his needs. When he said, my God shall supply all your needs. If you read that scripture very well, he said, come on, not that I desire a gift, but that it shall abound to your account. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Praise God. Amen and amen. Number 15. I know some people have problems with me. The things I'm saying, preaching. But don't worry. They are in the word of God. I'm preaching the Bible. I'm not called to preach to make people feel good. I'm not called to preach to be popular. I'm called to preach for the word of God to make impact in the lives of people. Number 15. Humble people are able to ask for help when necessary. They are able to ask for help when necessary. They don't feel they are all sufficient. They don't feel they are so complete. God has planned that relationships will be in three kinds. There is a dependency relationship, there is interdependence relationship, and there is the independence relationship. God expects that in some things you will be independent. God expects that in some things we shall interdepend on one another. And God expects that in some things you will depend. God expects that in some things we will depend on Him. God expects that in some things we will be able to work out our own salvation and be responsible. Now let me tell you something. Anybody who feels that he has no need for another person is a proud person. Nobody can say, I don't have need for anybody. Listen, God is your helper, but God will use men. God is the one who will promote you, but God will use men. The Bible says, and David was anointed king, but the people came and they made him king. Listen carefully. God will use men. In all the doings of God, God will use men. God will use men to lead you, show you the way. God will use men to bless you. God will use men to lead you. God will use men to disciple you. God will use men to raise you up. God will use men to change your life. God will use men to usher you into the ministry. God will use men to usher you into the realm of the supernatural, to the anointing. God will use men. You need men. We have not been called to depend on men. We have been called to depend on God. But let me tell you something. In our earthly relationship, I'm telling you that God will use men. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But where there is no people, the vision will also perish. The Bible says, and day by day, in 2 Samuel chapter 22, the Bible says, day by day, people came from all over and they came to help David until he became great like the army of the Lord. David had been anointed 3 times. He was anointed before his brethren. He was anointed in Judah. He was anointed in Jerusalem to be king over all Israel. But the Bible makes us understand, though God anointed David, God had to use men to help him make him a king. God will use men. God has planned it in such a way that we shall interdepend on one another. Even in the church of God, even in the church of God, God has planned that we shall depend on one another. You cannot live your life on an island. Even in the church of God, the Bible says, pray for one another. He said, forgive one another. He said, exhort one another. All the one another's in the Bible requires that we live interdepending on one another. Praise God. Even if an archangel needed help, we must know our limit. A humble person must know his limit. A humble person must know her limit. There's a place to which you can do something, beyond which you will need help. There's a level to which you can do something, beyond which you need the input of another. You cannot do it all by yourself. You must know where your limit lies, and you must know when you need help, and you must know how to call for help. Because God has done it in such a way that we must call for help when necessary. Praise God. Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they have come, they prayed for them that they will receive the Holy Ghost. Philip was an evangelist. He preached a powerful word. There was miracles, signs and wonders. But when it came to impartation of the Spirit, when it came to releasing the Holy Spirit, he had to send for the apostles. He did not say, well, I'm also anointed, I can also do it. He sent for the apostles to come and lay hands on Samaria. In other words, it is about partnership. It is about somebody being here. It is about somebody helping here. It's about somebody holding there. It's about somebody doing what you cannot do. If you act like you are all sufficient, you will break down and you cannot get to where God wants you to get to. You cannot be promoted, and that is a sign of pride. Humble person are happy to call for help. In our training, professional training, in managing cases, we have house officers, we have medical officers, we have residents, and we have consultants. And in managing cases, when you have done the basics, which is within your level, the next thing is to call for help. When you go for exams and they are asking you what you will do, as part of your protocol, they always say, after you have done the A, B, C, D, in other words, you have been able to secure airway, you have been able to secure breathing, circulation, giving the basic drugs, the next thing is call for help, call for help, call for help. When you go for an exams, it may be a clinicals, it may be a viva, orals, and you go and display that you are overconfident. It's good to be confident, but not to be overconfident. Anytime you go and display overconfidence, anytime you go and try to solve problems that are supposed to be beyond you, you'll be failed in the exam, straightforward. In other words, you should not act as if you are not sure, but at least they may be kind towards you when you are even not so sure. Because somebody who is not so sure can always call for help. Somebody who is too much sure will kill a patient, will do the wrong thing, will do what is beyond him or her. So outright failure. In the same way, in the things of God, in our lives, in your marriage, you need help. Your marriage is struggling. Your marriage is going down. You need counseling. You need prayer. In your ministry, you need help. You need to preach. You need to minister. You are not the only one who has the gift. There are some who have other gifts, which the people in your church will have need of it. Beloved, you can't do it all by yourself. One shall chase 1,000. Two shall chase 10,000. You must know when you need help, and you must know how to call for help. It cuts across in all professions, even in the church of God. Know your limit. Don't act as though you know it all. Don't act as though I don't need anybody. You will destroy yourself. Praise God. Even archangel was looking for help. An archangel was looking for help. Daniel chapter 10. An archangel was looking. He said, "By the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me." Came to help me. Archangel Gabriel was withstood by the devil. Was withstood by the prince of Persia. And he needed reinforcement. Even if archangels would need help, how much more mortal men? I thank God that we say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It does not exempt you from calling for help. It does not exempt you from asking for partnership when it becomes necessary. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Luke chapter 5 and verse 6. You must learn to call for help. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they called for the others. They beckoned unto their partners, which were on the other side, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships. So they began to sink. Listen, if you are going to experience boat sinking miracles, net breaking miracles, there are miracles and there are extraordinary miracles. There are ordinary miracles, there are net breaking miracles, and there are boat sinking miracles. If you want to experience supernatural miracles, extraordinary miracles, great miracles, net breaking miracles, boat sinking miracles, you need to call for help. The church of God is a powerful body. But in the church of God, God has not put all the solution in one place. God has not put all the solution in one man of God. God has not put the solution in one place. If you're a minister and there are certain areas you cannot deal with in your ministry, there are people who are gifted in the body of Christ. Extend your hands, invite them so that they can be a blessing. Praise God. You don't have the solution to all. The people belong to God. You are their shepherd. As their shepherd, you need to know prayerfully, carefully, and look for ministries in addition to your own to be a blessing to God's people. Praise God. Glory to God. Humble people know how to call for help. Whether it's your profession, whether you're a doctor, nurse, whatever you are in your area, there's always somebody higher than you. There are always people who have gone ahead of you. There are people who can do something you cannot do. I cannot play the keyboard. I cannot blow the sax. There are things I cannot do. In order to get to where God wants me to get to, I have to depend on the gifts and the skills and the talent God has placed in other bodies. He said, "For we have this treasure in an earthen vessel." In other words, the blessings of God, they are not found in one vessel. We must learn to ask for help. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. Number 15. I stay on meter number 30. Number 15. Glory to Jesus. Praise God. Number 15. God wants us to have childlike simplicity. The simplicity of a child. Matthew chapter 18, verse 2 to 4. Matthew chapter 18, verse 2 to 4. Matthew chapter 18, verse 24. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." You must be converted. In other words, you must be transformed. In other words, you must adjust. In other words, you must be malleable. In other words, you must be conformable to a little child. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same shall be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. He says, we must learn to humble ourselves. We must have childlike simplicity. Childlike simplicity. Childlike simplicity. Humble people are simple in their ways. Humble people, they exhibit childlike simplicity. Not that they don't know complex things. Not that they don't have knowledge of advanced things. But they learn to exhibit childlike simplicity. What are some of the childlike simplicity we know? Children make friends easily. God bless you. Children make friends easily. Now, let me tell you something. A child who is light-skinned, a child who is dark-skinned, they will play together. They would accept each other so easily. They would think they are the same. There will be no discrimination. Unless an adult tells a child, you are different from this child. Children accept themselves and they love themselves. They have childlike simplicity. The white kid accepts the black kid. The poor child accepts the rich child. The rich child accepts the poor child. They will never know until one of the parents tells them, this one is a child of a rich man or this one is a child of a poor man. They don't discriminate. They will play together. They will play. They will make friends. Until somebody says, this one is of a different political party and this one too is of a different political party. The child has simple faith, simple trust. They accept everybody. They don't discriminate. Humble people do not discriminate. They do not discriminate with regards to titles. They do not discriminate with regards to money. They do not discriminate with regards to age. A lot of the times, there are people we discriminate a lot. Especially ministers of the gospel, we discriminate a lot. Sometimes, if you have certain status in a society, you are more likely to be given audience and favor. Most of the time, ministers of the gospel, we discriminate. We don't accept young people. We accept people who are old, matured, and they have money. We discriminate a lot. But if we are going to be humble, like Jesus is teaching us to be humble, humble people do not discriminate. Whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are educated, whether you know, whether you don't know, they open up their arms and they receive you. They forgive easily and they don't remember. They've been hurt before. They've been backstabbed before. They've been betrayed before. But they realize that to move on and pleasing God, they must have childlike simplicity. They must have childlike simplicity. Childlike simplicity. As ministers of the gospel, now our work requires that we must trust. We must love. Every pastor, you know that you will be offended the most. People would offend you. People will betray you. People would hurt you. People would wound you. They will do all manner of things against you. But for you to also succeed and please God as a pastor, you must learn to trust again. You must learn to love again. You must learn to forgive again. And so Jesus said, unless we are transformed like children, we can never enter into the kingdom of God. Unless we humble ourselves like children, they don't discriminate. They forgive so easily. They accept people so easily. They trust so easily. They allow themselves to be led so easily. They allow themselves to trust. Maybe you believe God for something. It didn't happen like that. If you're a child and you have to humble yourself, you have to keep believing God again. You have to still keep obeying again. You have to keep going on because you are not at the end of your journey yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Dearly beloved, I believe this is where time would allow us to get to. We've been talking about having done all stand. We spoke about different things and we got to humility and we said humility is the key. We've spoken about humility. We've mentioned about 15 characteristics of humble people. And listen, I want to conclude by telling you, to humble yourself, it has to be your responsibility. It's like the way we work out our own salvation. It's like the way we flee from sexual immorality. It's like the way we strive to obey God, to humble ourselves. It is something that must be intentional and must be conscious. It is something that if we don't do, we can't get to our next level. And I've enumerated 15 characteristics of humble people. I believe the word of God has come. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Anytime the word of God comes, grace, which goes with the word, is also released. So I believe with this preaching and teaching, we are never going to be the same. We will clothe ourselves with humility and we will strive to remain humble, because the more we humble ourselves, the more we are lifted, the more we are promoted, the more we please our Maker. I pray for you in the name of Jesus that things that are delaying in your life, things that are yet to be manifested in your life, every word of God, every promise of God that is long overdue, as you learn to humble yourself, As we learn to practice these things we have shared in light of God's word, I ask that God will turn your situation around. God will turn your circumstances around. I pray that your destiny helpers shall be released. I pray that the man or the woman you need in your life shall be released. I pray that the news you need to hear this week shall come to you. I pray that the doors you need to be opened unto you shall be opened unto you. I declare in the name of Jesus, you shall not die before your time. You will finish well. And all that God has said about you, you shall see it, and it shall come to pass. Because you will learn to humble yourself. You will stand. You will not fail. You will not fall. I pray for your going out. I pray for your coming in. And I declare that it shall be well with you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you are watching by television, or you are watching on the internet, I want to pray with you briefly. I want you to say, "Dear God, I thank you for sending your son Jesus." Say, "Jesus, you died for me. You were buried for me. You rose for me. You shed your blood for me. Forgive me all my sins. Wash me and cleanse me with your precious blood. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Let me love you and serve you all the days of my life. Thank you for receiving me." Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and grant you peace. God bless you. One more time, in the same time next week, I will come your way with God's word. It is well with you. You will have a testimony. Stay blessed. Remain blessed till I come your way one more time. In Jesus' name, amen.